This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported in 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports. College football, thinking about revamping the playoff system already, or at least the big teams that are in the playoff system are thinking of revamping it, probably making everybody else mad.
You know what's better than money?
More money.
Exactly.
Did I get the answer right?
Exactly. Yeah. 100%. Congratulations. You graduated from how to be a college administrator.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Dan's going to join us coming up at 11:20. That was Dan Menigan. Andy's not here today. Dano is, though. And we've been talking about the Cavs as they get ready to get the final third of the season going here. In Brooklyn tonight against the Nets, we'll see how does this play out. I can't imagine the Cavaliers slipping past the second spot in the Eastern Conference. I don't think there's any way the Knicks catch them. So I think the Cavs will at least be the two seed. My guess is they'll be the one seed. They have a 5.5 game lead on the Celtics. I don't see the Cavs falling apart. I don't see the Celtics winning out, something drastic. So I think the Cavs will be the number one seed. Getting to the playoffs, yes, that's going to happen in a big way. Getting through the playoffs, much bigger challenge. Joe Varden from The Athletic covered the Cavaliers for many years, still covers the Cavaliers, was on the morning show with Ken and Anthony today. And he had this to say about kind of what he's hearing, rumblings around the NBA about the Cavaliers come playoff time.
When they were double digits in O, my colleague, David Aldridge, he wrote that they're great, but, you know, maybe they're a little too nice. And that was when they were double digits and 0. They were on their way to 15-0. And then if you think about the losses that they've had this year, most of the time it's because they were the smaller team on the perimeter and got pushed around. This doesn't mean necessarily that it's true. And they are going to have every opportunity to really prove this come April and May and hopefully June. But if you talk about labels, that's still it. That is still it. You know, until they've done it on the biggest stage, like that's going to haunt them.
I think that's a fair label, too, because it gets back to what we were talking about earlier. Until you get in there and do it, that's what teams are going to think. You know, the Cavs, with a different head coach, obviously, won a playoff series last year. Okay, that was good. But now you've got to go deep. And that's what they're trying to do with Kenny Atkinson. But I think it's fair to say that maybe this isn't the biggest team. It's not the most physical team. What it might be is one of the most skilled teams. And can that carry you? We'll see. But they should be in line for some really good playoff basketball.
So I get what's being said here a little bit.
Throwing around.
It's like, yeah, I kind of get it. But at the same point, that's one of those words that just gets tossed out every so often. Oh, such and such is soft.
Yeah.
That... There's no way to prove it outside of by immediately going like, oh, you think I'm soft? And then you prove that by doing something dumb, like getting into a fist fight. Like, that's what the problem that I always have with that label is all of a sudden it's like, okay, so now how do you declare toughness, especially in the regular season? Are you supposed to like walk into one of these and find the toughest guy there and just start shoving him, and that's how Evan Mobley proves that he's tough? Like,
I think the word,
what the hell does that mean?
Well, I think the word soft isn't the right word. What I look at is slightly undersized.
Okay, that I'll listen to.
I don't, because soft to me is okay, you're not soft. You're professional athletes, and you're skilled, and you play basketball. You're not football players.
Exactly.
But I do think that the physicality of a playoff series might be a factor here. I think the size of it will be, because the Cavs just do not have a lot of big guys. You know, Jared Allen, everybody talks about the 2 7-footers. Jarrett's really like 6'9".
I mean, the half throw gets you over the top. I mean, sure. That thing is, but it, you can't see through it.
It doesn't rebound.
The thing is,
but
great.
But Jarrett does. So you have over 6'9", you have one guy on this team, and that's Evan. And, okay, that doesn't mean you can't win an NBA championship, but you have one guy over 6'9". And I just wonder, you know, will Karl Anthony Towns be a guy who gives them fits in a playoff series? I don't know. We'll find out. You know, and he's lanky. He goes out on the floor as well. It's just something to monitor, and it might be something for them that they're going to have to deal with. But then you play to your strengths. Okay, you hope your backcourt dominates the game. You hope your big guy is more athletic than the other big guys. That's the beauty of NBA playoff basketball.
Yeah.
You know, it's a matchup chess, like, all right, we lost that game. What can we strategize for the next game? Who do we attack? How do we attack them? That I think the Cavs are very capable of doing.
I know I've said this many a time, and it's probably become obnoxious to a lot of people out there when it comes to it, but like, how do you not look at a guy like Darius Garland, who had his jaw broken and then had his jaw wired shut, and then he came back better this year than he was last year, and go, yeah, that guy's soft. Like, I just don't understand that
Is the wrong word.
Right.
I do.
And you're right. It is. They maybe are more finesse, and maybe people are looking at Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell and going, well, you know, they're not exactly, they're not 6'7", they're not 235 pounds of pure muscle and like all of that kind of stuff. Like, I understand that.
And that's legit.
And exactly. Yeah. I understand such things. But I continue to come back to those Boston games when they were hunting matchups at the tail end of it and taking those games seriously. And by they, I mean the Celtics. And they were running pick and roll to hunt matchups to get Darius Garland on Jason Tatum, watching Garland hang with Tatum and watching Garland make Tatum not be able to get to his spots and have to take fadeaway jumpers because he was playing that tough of defense and taking those hits and taking those blows that to the body that come with playing defense in the NBA when it matters. Like, I see those things that take place during the regular season, and it gives me hope that what you're saying, they may have the outlier to that. Donovan Mitchell has been a good defender this year. He stayed in front of guys. He's taken those shots. He hasn't fallen over. He hasn't tried to get cheap fouls to get bailouts on these kind of things. He's working. Like, I understand, hey, they only have one guy who's over 6'10", and it's Evan Mobley. I understand that. Jared Allen can hang.
Without question.
And anybody,
Jared plays a big man game at 6'9". And that's a big man.
Right.
But he plays bigger than 6'9".
And he gets in the way, and he knows how to use his length, and he knows how to use different things to make up for the fact that he's not Victor Wembanyama. You know, he definitely, these guys understand this. And I want to see them in a playoff series badly, because I want to see what this looks like when they're going up against Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby, Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson, who are going to come at them with everything in them, and who have, at least a chunk of them, have been in the playoffs and have seen it before. And Brunson is a proven scorer on the playoff scene. And Josh Hart is a menace who is a streak shooter on top of that stuff. Like, or a streak, I should say. Streak shooter on top of that. And OG Anunoby, who's won a title when he was with Toronto. Like, these guys are really talented. I want to see what that looks like, because this Cavalier team, I think, can hang. And so I don't see them with that moniker, and I don't see them with that thought. I see them as having a different set of skills, but I also see them in a way where they can hang with teams that may be a little longer and bigger than they are.
Are they asking too much out of DeAndre Hunter, I wonder? You know, you make one trade, and you're bringing in a couple of other guys. But, okay, I won't say they're insignificant, the other guys. DeAndre Hunter is obviously the guy here. I wonder if the thought is we've brought in DeAndre Hunter and we've solved our issue on the wing. I don't think that's the case. I think you've helped yourself greatly. I think Hunter's a nice addition to this team, and I like the way he plays. But I still think the overall issues of, okay, can the small backcourt hang? Are your two big guys tough enough? Those are still there. Hunter fills in that gap. But you're still going to have to see this thing in the playoffs, as you just stated, Dan, and see how this plays out. I just wonder how much do people expect out of Hunter. And I almost think we'll see. He hasn't been here very long. If he gets put into an unfair situation because so much is expected of him to be the missing piece.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When he was in college, he was ACC all defense. He was one of the best defensive players in college basketball and one of the main reasons why that Virginia team went as deep as they did. He was really good. I mean, the guy was impressive to watch.
And well, that was college.
But that's the thing, is he then went to Atlanta and developed this offensive game, and the defensive side of it kind of fell. And he wasn't quite as good defensively. Now, is that because of Atlanta's mindset and playing with Trae Young and playing with Quinn Snyder and everything else that was going on down there? Or is that a guy who peaked defensively in college and has maintained, if not slipped that level a little bit down, and will always be there? Or is there more to that ceiling? That's the question I have with DeAndre Hunter. It was what made him so appealing coming out of college was the fact you're like, okay, I could teach this guy how to shoot, but he has every other tool in the toolbox, and his defense is awesome. And so what can I do to continue to use every tool in that toolbox and help him build a jump shot? And it seems like he went to Atlanta and he built the jump shot and the defense just kind of went, So I wonder that same exact question. Like,
he was in a situation in Atlanta where, you know, especially, you know, in the recent years, Trae Young is just the guy.
Right.
And I think that is a hindrance for anybody else trying to really develop their offensive game, at least as much as they could. But I'm real curious to see how he works here over an extended period of time, because I like him. He's a good player.
I do too.
And he should fit. How does Kenny Atkinson use him? Is he going to be coming off the bench? Is Max Strus going to start? Obviously, first game, Hunter started because Strus was out. Then they switched it. And I kind of like the idea of capitalizing on what he did in Atlanta, where he was scoring 19 points a game coming off the bench. I think that could be a huge boost for the Cavs, because if you put him in the starting lineup, does he get buried with Darius and Donovan scoring a lot of points and with Evan scoring 18 a game? Do you miss out on potential points there and potential impact from DeAndre Hunter?
If that defense can come back to a high level and he can become a high-level defender, and it was just a case of situation like we've talked about with Kyle Kuzma, you know, where it was a case of situation in Washington, and now all of a sudden when he's with Milwaukee, on a contender with contending players around him who are pushing him, all of a sudden the things that make Kyle Kuzma as good as he was comes back. And I wonder if DeAndre Hunter falls into the same thing on the defensive end. The question that I have with it is, Jeff, I don't care who starts. The Golden State Warriors have taught me that I don't care who starts.
Yeah.
What matters to me is, with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, who's standing on the floor.
Or who's playing in big minutes and other points.
Right.
When you look at the end, who's played their 34 minutes? Who's played 32 minutes?
Who's my closing five?
Right.
And I think that dude has to be in my closing five.
I would think there's no question about that.
In the same way that Caris LeVert was in the closing five.
Yep. I would agree with that.
Yep. And that's my number one thing. As long as that guy is in the closing five and he's able to play defense, and I can take him and go, you need to go on Mikal Bridges and make his life a nightmare. Or maybe we switch you on to Jalen Brunson and you need to hang with him for 3 minutes down the stretch, because you're long and lanky and might give him some issues. Like, that's the stuff that I'm looking with him.
We'll see. Brooklyn tonight. Cavaliers getting going with the after All-Star break portion of the schedule, and then get ready. Playoffs will be here soon enough. Dan Wetz is a senior columnist for Yahoo Sports, writes a lot of college sports. He's terrific. There's rumblings from the big boys in college football that they want more teams and more of their teams, which means, as Dan pointed out earlier, more money. Dan's thoughts on that and the hockey extravaganza going on as well. Wetzel from Yahoo next on Baskin and Phelps.